Are you leaving the government for more money? A better work-life balance? How about greater career development opportunities or just more autonomy? Well, the Office of Personnel Management wants agencies to pose these questions to departing senior executive service members. It developed a new survey with help from the Senior Executives Association, and the group's president, Carol Bonacero, joins us now with some insight. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
So first off, do you have any sense of how many SES members are leaving government and whether that number is increasing?
I don't have any hard figures, but it certainly is my impression that more are retiring right now.
So why could that be, do you suppose?
Well, you know, a very good question, Tom. And I think the interesting thing about this exit survey is that it's going to provide information instead of speculation.
And so right now there is no good reason. I mean, is this the first time that we've ever tried to figure out why senior executive service members leave?
Amazingly enough, yes. You know, about 5 years ago or so, there was a hearing, if memory serves, in the Senate. And I testified at that, and the issue had to do with Department of Homeland Security and their senior executive service. They had a very high turnover rate. And interestingly enough, the idea of exit interviews had not arisen to determine, in fact, why those executives were leaving. So we finally have an instrument to do that, and I hope that it's going to be have enough publicity, if you will, that those senior executives who are retiring and leaving government will go on the website and complete the survey.
Now, I don't want to give away a lady's secrets, but you retired from the federal government a few years ago, let's say.
Yes, ages ago.
And what was your experience? I mean, what made your decision to retire at the time you did, and what was it like? Did someone try to say, no, don't go yet, or did they say, see you later?
Well, in fact, I was at an agency that periodically would expire, if you will, and had to be renewed. So it happened at the time that Senior Executive Association needed a new full-time president. It was a very interesting decision to make because it was uncharted waters for someone who had been in government. But I left because it was a terrific opportunity to do something that I really cared about a great deal. So I took an early retirement.
But what can you speak? I mean, because you do have an association full of people who they're trying to get these answers from, or formers. And what about the work-life balance or the lack of authority, support, and developmental opportunities? What about some of these issues that the survey seeks to get at? Are these, in fact, issues from what you know about with the senior executive service right now?
Well, you know, we can all talk about whether, for example, some of them are leaving because it just become very frustrating and difficult to manage in the times we're in. Or it can be, gee, I've reached that point, it's time to move on. And that's why the survey is so important, to ask questions about where are they going? Are they going to be working full-time? Was any effort made to encourage them to stay? And what, if anything, would have encouraged them to stay? These are really important because we know that so many GS-14s and 15s don't find the SES a particularly attractive place right now.
So that's not by the way, we're speaking with Carol Bonacero, the president of the Senior Executives Association. If 13s, 14s, I guess 15s for that matter, don't find SES attractive, what does that signify to you? Is it the process of becoming an SESer, or is it the fact that you get much more responsibility but only a little bit more money?
Well, when we surveyed them several years ago, and about 12,000 14s and 15s responded, the big detractor was the lack of work-life balance. The second biggest one was the concern about the possibility of geographic relocation. But buried in the 3,500 comments that were written was the fact that when you added up the additional responsibilities, the lack of work-life balance, et cetera, there was not enough on the other side, namely the attractors, including pay, to make a difference to encourage them to enter. So I think that anything that helps agencies to take a harder look at their senior executive service and what they can do to improve the life, if you will, of senior executives will contribute to getting us the next generation of the kind of really talented, experienced people we need.
Well, given everything that is going on in Congress and the pressure on federal pay and the president imposing a two-year pay freeze and now Congress extending it for another year, I wonder if people feel like, never mind just getting their current raise, there's absolutely no chance of some kind of step function increase across the board for SESers as a matter of policy for what they should be paid. That seems to be completely far-fetched at this point.
Well, there are serious issues with regard to the SES pay system because, as you know, they don't receive, under normal circumstances, they don't receive locality pay, they don't receive cost of living increases. So everything is dependent on their performance. And right now, we're in a situation where some agencies, as we understand it, are actually considering whether they should pay any performance awards at all for this year. And that's very unfortunate because the net result is to put a real damper not only on those who are currently in the senior executive service, but on those who might aspire to it.
All right. Carol Bonacero is president of the Senior Executives Association. We'll look forward to having you on when that survey gets completed.